Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
I just want to be 8 days a week.
Welcome to another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent, of course, the Clemson Tigers, your reigning, defending national champions in this podcast. We have a co-host. Yep. And I don't know what he represents, but he is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
Good evening, good evening. Rob, we are single digits now. Single digits.
Yeah.
Away from opening day. I mean, I'm not a math major, but I know that today is the 6th. And opening is the 15th. I know 15 minus 6 is 9.
Yeah.
And I wake up tomorrow with 8. So it's getting there. I went ahead and put my tickets in today. I've got my actual tickets ready to go. The only bad thing I see is I'm looking at the weather. It looks like there could be some rain that Friday. Hopefully that will change. That's a little bit farther out right now. But hopefully that will change. The baseball gods should take care of that for us and get some nice weather.
Of course, he's talking about the opening of the baseball season. Shout out to Sam watching online tonight. Big baseball guy. We appreciate him. Of course, you can watch online. We record this every Wednesday and Sunday evening. We go at 10:30. But tonight, we're going to talk a little bit. I got a couple of baseball notes that I'll throw out there the comrade may approve of. We'll also get into what else? Oh. We're going to talk about signing day for a minute. And something Will Muschamp said the other day that I found interesting anyway. So we'll get into that and a lot more this evening right here on the Rob and Comrade Show. We appreciate the patrons of our show. They include Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Stuff, the Czar of Clemson Sports, Thomas Dana Young, Kevin Willis, Kaylee Willis, Jeff Pritchett, Positive Mike, Tabitha Sims, and who else am I missing? Am I missing somebody? Because my computer rebooted there, Mike. I don't think I'm missing anybody else. Jamie Phillips.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Yeah.
You said Robert Knight, right?
Oh, and of course Robert Knight. How can I forget Robert Knight? I was in the man's wedding, for goodness sake.
I'm making sure you didn't forget him.
No, I'm not going to forget Robert Knight. But those are the patrons of our show. They contribute a dollar or two a month. You can do the same as well. Go to robincomrade.com. And you can get all kinds of good information there. The website, we're going to start doing some more updates on the website. I'm going to start writing a little bit over there. The comrade, he's dealing with stuff during the day. I have time to post a couple things here and there over there. So
I'm going to start doing more baseball. Once the baseball gets going, I'll do some more baseball posts on there too.
Yeah, so, it'll be cool. It'll be cool either way. And of course, how do we forget Lisa Harkins? Lisa Sister Harkins. I'm sorry, Lisa. She's like one of our favorite patrons, and she, like, the comrade wants a Lisa t-shirt. I may have to get that made. That may happen.
We have to work in her hearing. So she hears things that aren't
she does
said.
Not hear things. She like, triggers. She triggers.
She'll hear
you.
Things that, like, no, that's not what it said.
She triggers the Gamecock fan base. She's with it. She really is.
So
yeah. So there you go. There's that. All right. Well, I tell you what. Yes, we'll give you your dollar back. Come on, Lisa. I always remember you. Calm down. Anyway, but those are the patrons of our show. We appreciate them. Also, we have sponsors for our show, including Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart, to go in, have some cold beer and some hot wings, play some retro video games. The only Golden Tee Lounge that I've ever seen. You can go play some Golden Tee there. Hang out with Billy and Lee. They will take care of you at Callaway's. Also, Wolverine Studios. Wolverine Studios is great. If you want to get into something where you can simulate and a game, basically what I mean by that is that if you think that you can do a better job than your favorite pro basketball team or your favorite college basketball team, you can do that. You can do that at WolverineStudios.com. It's the most realistic simulation game out there. They have put everything into it where you can even cheat. What I mean by that is that if you're a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, like let's say that you could have gotten Zion Williamson for Clemson if you would have gave his dad $500,000. You can do that. Chances are you'll get caught or you might not get caught. Then you got Zion Williamson for a year. That's basically the kind of stuff you can do at Wolverine Studios. Go and check it out, wolverinestudios.com. Use the keyword Comrade and get 15% off of your order. Comrade, we also have DNC Trucking and Transport. Dennis Wilson is our sponsor there. Tell us a little bit about, actually, this is a no-spin zone from the Comrade. Read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson won a national title before South Carolina won a bowl game. Clemson is my national champion. Clemson has three national titles. My team has one conference title. Clemson is my national champion. Since we are on the verge of baseball season, let's not forget Clemson has the number one overall draft pick in Major League Baseball, and South Carolina does not. Clemson is my national champion. As you can see, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. All facts there. All facts. So there you go. That's what Dennis brings to the show. Dennis is the truth sayer. He just brings things that are truthful to the show, and we appreciate Dennis Wilson. All right. Now, this evening I thought we could talk a little bit about National Signing Day. Here's the interesting thing about that. You don't really know much, and we've talked about this before. You and I both are not really like recruitniks. We'll follow like, okay, this big guy goes here, but I don't follow recruiting. I mean, I follow it enough to kind of get what's going on. But in the end, I've seen too many kids that were destined to be like the greatest ever, and then they just weren't. So when that happens, it's kind of hard for me to get into recruiting, but I think you kind of feel the same way, right?
I mean, it's funny you said the word recruit, Nick, because I was thinking that in my head. I was going to say that. I think we've been together too long. Disclaimer, as I always say, I am not someone who follows recruiting. I can't, the 24/7, the rival, and the one combines them. That is not my thing. I just don't interest in it. Now, that being said, obviously, recruiting is important, okay? And so people always, every time I do this thing, they go, you don't think recruiting is important? No, I didn't say that. Recruiting is important. My point is to get overly excited about it. I think you need to wait till you actually see them in the field and see how you develop them. I mean, the good news is the Gamecocks today had targeted a few kids, and we all got them. Okay, so that's the good news. I mean, so if you trust in Will Muschamp, that he can evaluate high school talent and develop them, and he went out of his way to target these guys for a while and got them, then that's good news. I mean, that thing doesn't mean that, all of a sudden now we've arrived, but you have to like, from the Gamecock standpoint, the fact that we're building up more depth on defense, and you have to trust in the fact that wherever Will Muschamp has been, he eventually builds really good defenses if he has time. Florida Gators had a great defense even after he left those guys he left behind. And so you have to think that he's kind of building it up. So we mentioned before, you win football games in the O-line, the D-line, and we're building more depth there with guys who have good ratings according to the people who rate them. And that doesn't mean anything. They can all be busts and everything like that. So, but it was a good day for the Gamecocks in terms of that. We'll see how it translates on the football field. But you have to be excited if you're a Gamecock fan, just understanding we're building more depth in areas where we need more depth.
My thing with Clemson today was it was just another Clemson class finishing in the top 10. That's kind of where Clemson has consistently been here for the past, I think, 4 or 5 years. Don't quote me wrong. If you look at the 247 composite, that's just what you got. I mean, Clemson is just right there. I do think you have to have highly rated recruiting classes. I think it helps bring more kids in. When they see that, your class is highly recruited, well, people are going there. Now, my thing with Clemson, though, is that this class is just solid. They didn't really – I think Frank Lotson's going to be a good player, and there's a couple other players in there that, just from what we see now, may be, good players. But if you remember last year's class, the big thing was was Trevor Lawrence coming in. The year before that was Travis Etienne, and of course you also had Xavier Thomas and KJ Henry. So there were high RL names in the past, but this class is a top 10 class, which is consistently where Clemson has been. Now, I do have a bone to pick with you, sir, because I did some research today. Now, I don't want you to sit here and think that I'm ripping your coach to shreds, but I've always said that Will Muschamp is going to be able to recruit at South Carolina because I think he's going to do that. And I think the Gamecocks will eventually have one of the best defensive units in the SEC. But when you look at the recruiting rankings, and I pulled all of them today. Now, if you look at the recruiting rankings, Will Muschamp has, at South Carolina, consistently been right there where Steve Spurrier was. And I'm pulling them right up here now as my computer. I had to restart it before we got out of here. But I went back to 2011. And these are the rankings year by year. 11, they were 17th. In 12, they were 15th. In 13, they were 20th. In 14, they were 19th. In 15th, they were 20th. In 16, they were 25th. In 2017, they were 21st. In 2018, they were 18th. And in 2019, they finished at 19th. So here's my thing. You're consistently bringing the same classes ranked-wise into South Carolina. What's the deal? I mean, because I think that Will, and I've said this on the show, I think that Will Muschamp is a better recruiter than Steve Spurrier is, but yet the composites show that he's pretty much on par with what Spurrier brought in here.
Well, that's how the rankings go. Now, if you go by the actual numbers in terms of recruits, it's our best recruiting class ever. It's the first time a recruiting class has ever averaged a four-star. It's also the highest, whatever that composite number is, in Gamecock history, so if you're going by that. So, once again, the recruiting rankings are not always accurate. The guys that Spurrier brought in at the end, a lot of them didn't pan out, either through coaching development or from he got guys that just didn't, get to the point where they were great football players. So, I mean, the rankings, if we're in the top 20 all the time in that range, that's good enough to for Muschamp to get what he wants. But, I mean, right now, I mean, our class right now averages a four-star. And that's never happened according to what I read today. Once again, I'm not a recruiting expert. But according to what I read today from several Gamecock sources, the Gamecocks, since they started doing the whole star rating system, have never averaged a four-star across the class. And in this one, they did. So,
all right. Well, I'm not going to – there's not really much I can say to that. But Sam has a couple of comments. Sam's a big Gamecock fan, really big baseball fan. And he says, offensive coaches will unfortunately ruin Helinski. You know, that's to be seen. But he says, so if it's our best class ever, should Muschamp be on the hot seat? Now, that parlays into my next question. And I'll tell you what it is. Muschamp was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday and said that next year's team will be, quote, the best football team. His best football team at South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if he's going to have his best football team there and they go out and win six games, should he be on the hot seat then?
Well, first of all, he's not in the hot seat. He just signed a contract extension.
That's not what I said. I said if he finishes with six wins next year with his, quote, best team, should he be on the hot seat?
Let's unpack this, they say, okay? Number one, he had his best recruiting class ever. They'll be freshmen this year. So you're saying that with those freshmen, he better win.
I got you.
This is what drives me nuts.
Just answer the question.
Listen, no, he's not in the hot seat. He won't be in the hot seat. If he breaks 45 NCAA rules and beats up eight people on campus, then he'll get fired, okay? He's not in the hot seat, everybody. He's just got to win year three. It's not going to happen, okay? Not going to happen, okay? Now, it's our best team. This past year's team was better than last year's team. Now, the win total didn't stack up because the schedule was harder. So he is right, okay? And it should be his best team. You should get, as you're building a program, your team should get better. They get deeper, they get more talented, and he's getting more of his guys in that he recruited for his system and so forth. They should, okay? Now, with a record pan out, we'll see. We'll see. The schedule's really hard this year. I like the schedule this year. There's Gamecock fans like, oh, I'm in our schedule. I mean, I like the idea that you have a bunch of big games. I mean, that's what you watch college football for. I couldn't imagine having a season where you have one big game all year. Well, we got two. We got eight crap teams, big game. Two crap teams, big. I mean, that's awful. So they got a bunch of big games, okay? They're not winning a national title this year, folks. I hate to break this to you. If they had an awful schedule, they're not winning a national title this year. So why not, as you're building the program, play really good teams, have opportunities to beat really good teams, to get some signature wins in there, to get better and build a program. I'm not sure what Gamecock fans, some Gamecock fans are so worried about. Like, oh, if we win 7-5 this year, what's going to happen? It takes time. It takes time. So, no, it's his best recruiting class ever. They're all going to be freshmen this year. Some will redshirt. To say he's in the hot seat now for this year when they're all freshmen, no. You judge that class 3 years from now. What are they doing as juniors? I mean, that's how you judge a class. You don't judge their freshman year, what they do. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Okay? And I'm not talking about the Clemson fans, but there's Gamecock. I'm in a Gamecock room, and there's a guy in there who wants him fired right now. Like, really?
Well, address Sam's comment right here where he says, then Tanner's on the hot seat for these contract extensions. I mean, Sam's a Gamecock guy. All right, okay. So it's not me saying this stuff. I mean, first of all, I've never been on the Will Muschamp train to come here. I thought you guys settled for him. I know that you're a big guy with him, but I think that you guys could have done a lot better. You really could.
Okay, who should we have gotten? Please tell me.
I don't know. P.J. Fleck from Minnesota.
How's he doing in Minnesota right now? How's he doing in Minnesota right now?
Do you think that Minnesota is a better football program than South Carolina? Minnesota won their bowl game this year.
So if you win your bowl game, you're a better program.
No, I'm just saying he's building a program there. So coming to South Carolina with SEC money, he would probably be a better program.
So the previous season, we were a better program than Clemson.
No.
We won our bowl game.
That's not, Mike, that's not the point. I'm talking about coaches that were there. Stop trying to compare it to Clemson. You're not on Clemson's
side. You just said that they won their bowl game, so they're a better program.
No, I'm not saying that. I said last year they won their bowl game, and he has building blocks where it looks like they are going to be a better program than South Carolina is. I hate that I have to talk to you like you're 2 years old.
You actually just said they won their bowl game last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they won their bowl game last year, and we meaning that there was a building block. That's what that means, okay?
All right.
Now, you can have a guy like that.
What's P.J. Fleck's record? What's his record in Minnesota?
I don't know. I'm just throwing
you don't know.
Names
out there. You're just throwing people out there.
Look, I'm throwing coaches out there that I think would be better. How about Tom Herman?
Okay, so how about Bill Belichick?
How about Tom Herman?
We tried to hire him. He said no. Like, here's what I don't understand. Okay, Ray Tanner, you should have got Tom Herman.
I just wanted to hear you say you got turned down.
You should have got Bill Belichick. How come you didn't get Saban, Ray Tanner? I can't believe you didn't convince him. I don't understand. Some of the stupidity in the Gamecock rooms is mind-boggling. So let's have this plan. We're going to hire a coach, and we're going to give him three freaking years. And after year three, we're going to fire him. The next coach gets 3 years. We're going to fire him. I wonder if that will work. I wonder if that's how you do it.
I'm with you on that. Look,
let me
I'm
think.
With you on giving
me think if that's going to work.
I'm just
I want to think if that will work. Probably
I'm just
not.
Saying,
probably,
I'm just
probably
saying
not.
There were other coaches that were out there, Mike.
And why would you give an extension for? I don't know. It might be kind of hard to recruit if you say, I've got 1 year left in my deal, so you want to come play for me? I don't know. I mean, I love the people who just think they I got an idea. We have 1 year deals for them. Make them want to work for it, man. Stupidity. Why did Spurrier go in the tank for? Because Spurrier got honest with a reporter one day and said he'll be here for 3 to 4 years.
Well,
and
no,
that's
recruiting. That's not. That's technically not.
Yes,
true.
It did.
No, yes, that's technically not
so,
true. The recruiting numbers show that that's not
so
true.
So Tanner getting an extension. So just chill, guys. Freaking chill. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unreal. I get that Gamecock fans when I won a national title last year. It takes a little time, guys. It takes time. Okay? I don't know what you were expecting. I don't know. At 3-9, we couldn't be the Citadel, and in year 3, you're mad because we're not competing for national titles yet.
I don't think it's that. I think you're overstretching. I think it's exactly what Sam is saying here. You didn't mentally show up in your bowl game.
Yes.
You had several games this year. I mean, explain the Kentucky stuff to me, because Kentucky was a great team this year. You don't want to say they were a great team. I know that hurts your feelings. But you've lost so many games in a row to Kentucky, a team that you were better than. I mean, in the majority of those games.
Okay.
But you still lost to Kentucky.
Okay. Well, so some of those are under Spurrier. Now, so, I mean, like, if we're going to judge Muschamp, can we judge when he's been here, please? Like,
sure.
Let's do that. Like, we do this whole thing. Kentucky, that wasn't his problem losing the first two there. I mean, that's not him, okay?
Okay. Well, you lost three. They played awful. Kentucky.
They lost three straight to Kentucky. They played bad in those games. I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I guess I don't understand. Like, I'm not sure what Gamecock fans want. I mean, I know what they want, but I'm trying to figure it out right now. So we go on this show all the time, and I read these damn things from Dennis Wilson about how horrible our program is historically, okay? And then in the same breath, I can't. You're not on the hot seat right now. I mean, you should be in top 10 by now. I don't understand. There's a disconnect somewhere. Something happened, and there's a disconnect between reality, expectations, and just common damn sense, man. And it's going to take time. Like, I think people think that, and I think really they have to do with Clemson. I think if Clemson was going 8-4 of a year, it wouldn't be the problem. But because Clemson's going through their best run ever, it's like we got to get there. Right, like right now we get there. You can't do it that way. That's not how it works.
Right.
Our best run ever, we had three straight years in the top 10. Okay, and that took time. The greatest coach ever, Steve, he's a Spurrier. It took him 7 years to do that. 7 years. Okay? Year 7, he got in the top 10. And before that, it was 7-6, 7-6, 7-5, 7-6.
That's not true.
He had some crappy bowl games against UConn. Had some crappy bowl games against Iowa. Didn't show up for some bowl games. And now, everyone's like, oh, just tell me, we've got to get, you know, he's no Spurrier. Like, so, I it's just kind of, you know, I don't know what the disconnect is. And there are a lot of Gamecock fans who get it and are excited about today. And then you got other Gamecock fans who are like, oh, well, you know, that's really good recruit class. We're going to judge him this year. He better win 11. He better win 11. Or he's out.
I don't think the most
wins of any Gamecock coach in the first 3 years.
Part of it is
he's played more games, but Spurrier played just as many games, okay? He's got more than Spurrier. Okay? Spurrier took over a program that was in bad shape, not as bad of shape as when Muschamp took over. I mean, Lou Holtz loses the Citadel. Okay? So, Lou Holtz took over a worse program than what Muschamp did. We had Fat Brad taking over, so that was a tire fire. So, Holtz did a really good job, but had to go winless in his first year. I mean, so I just don't understand. If you'd have told Gamecock fans, if I'd have told you that after 3 years that Will Muschamp had the most wins of any Gamecock coach through 3 years, you'd say I was stupid and I'm living
no,
in fantasy world.
No,
and I'm
no,
dumb.
I mean, and there'd be fans that would say that, but you're not. What you're not understanding is that, first of all, winning, being the winningest coach in a 3 year stretch for South Carolina is like finishing 18th in a beauty contest.
Okay. Well,
but
you're judging by the
program.
Will
you let me finish? Will you let me finish,
but
sir?
The whole point is that's
Holy
the whole
shit.
Point. Gamecock fans want us to be national champions this year,
Look, there are Gamecock fans in here that are saying stuff. I want a team that fights and is prepared. Were you prepared for your bowl game?
No.
Okay. Do you think after three seasons you should have a coach that gets you prepared for a bowl game? Not winning it, but prepared for it. Do you think that's too much to ask to be prepared for a game when you beg us to buy tickets and then we show up and we look like assholes?
Were we prepared to play UConn?
The UConn game you fought.
Did you watch the UConn game?
What did you lose the game by? Did you score a point?
The UConn game looked horrible. How about the Iowa game, the Outback Bowl in 07?
We got the Iowa game just drop kicked.
So people, it's this memory problem people have. And it happens too in baseball too with Tanner. When Holbrook took over, they act like Tanner went 84-0 over a year and never lost a game. And now we got the same people. You know, I can't believe we didn't show up for a bowl game. And I mean, that's just an awful coach. And remember the UConn game, the Iowa game? But still, it was Spurrier. Okay, because it was Spurrier's. Okay, it happens. The fact is, went to a bowl game, had a bunch of guys injured. Had guys injured all year long, okay? Had no depth. It happens. Playing in a bowl game, which we weren't excited to be there, up in Charlotte, all kinds of things. Is it an excuse? No. But to sit there and judge that game and say, well, that's who we are for next year, is stupid. You know how many teams have bowl games like that where they play crap? I mean, you can point to all kinds of teams that have a season where they're disappointed, okay? Didn't have the season they wanted to, okay? And they go in the bowl game, lay an egg. Happens all the time. And you say, well, there's a coaching problem. Well, apparently there's lots of crappy coaches out there then. Apparently Steve Spurrier was a crappy coach for 3 years because Iowa and UConn kicked our ass and they shouldn't have kicked our ass. And we didn't want to play. We didn't play. We didn't show up. Played awful. The whole deal. The UConn game was horrible. The UConn game was just like this game this past year. The same kind of thing. We went there, clearly want to be there, and got our asses hammered to us by a team that shouldn't have hammered us. So it's the same thing. It happens. And what happened the next year? We won the SCs. What happened the year after that? Top 10. Year after that? Top 10. Year after that? Top 10. So to sit there and say, that bowl game right there, that just proved your team is crap. No. It doesn't prove crap. It proves that game, we didn't show up, didn't play, and that's it. So, I mean, so I just think Gamecock fans need a better memory, okay, because their memories get really bad and need to kind of piece this together. It takes some time. Have a little patience. Okay? Today was a good day. It was a good news day. Really good day. I'm not sure what people are pissed off. A real good day. He targeted the guys. He got the guys he wanted. Okay? Getting more depth on defense. You can start to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay? I hate not having a good defense. Okay? And the fact is, you can start seeing where the defense is going in the future. So it's a good day for the Gamecocks. And the fact that the schedule we're playing this year is a good schedule. I like having a big schedule. That's how you get recruits. Playing big games on national TV, and you have a chance to beat these teams, make a name for yourself, okay, and do that. Instead of playing, you know, crappy-ass schedule every year, that doesn't get it done.
Well, we can argue about till the cows come home. I think it's just you and I are thinking on completely different levels. And see, I have the bias in me, and I can admit my bias, that I've always thought that Will Muschamp was a horrible coach, and I still think he's a horrible coach.
Okay, and you thought that Dabo should have been fired in 2010. Let's be honest.
Well, I have no problem. I have no problem putting my stuff out there. But see, this is the problem. You always completely bring that up. But see, what you're failing to realize and what you don't understand is I don't accept losing.
Okay. And that's fine.
You and a big portion of your fan base, if you support Will Muschamp, in my opinion, you are supporting losing. And that's fine. Go ahead and keep doing that.
It's stupid, Rob. You have to give him time to build a program. And you can do it your way. Your way is, goddamn you, Dabo, you didn't freaking beat him. We're going to fire you right now. Where would you be right now without Dabo?
I don't know.
Rob Sanders was the AD of Clemson, Dabo would have been fired after 2010 because goddamn South Florida beat us and we can't beat the Gamecocks. Okay? Now, so do you want to go ahead and do the whole 3-year plan with coaches? 3 years, you're not getting it done, fire them. Then what happens? That recruiting class then goes down the crapper because all those kids now decommit because they don't know who the coach is going to be. So now the new coach comes in, he's got to scramble, pick up some more guys. That next year's crap, and you go, I don't know if this guy's the answer. You see that record he had? He gets me Chris next year. Well, he's not winning fast enough. Hot seat. Oh, let's fire him. And you never get good. So why don't you stick with the guy? You hired him, give him a chance to bring his players in, build a program, and see what happens. Or he can be like, let's fire Dabo Swinney after 2010. I mean, listen, that's your way. Okay, you say it's not accepting the winning. I don't accept losing. I don't accept it.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think that when I posted that like 7 years ago or whenever it was that I posted that, I was upset with what the team was. Okay, and I admit that. Okay. But on the same token, you're looking at what you're failing to realize is that I was not patient enough with a coach that had a 3-year stretch, and I should have been more patient. But Will Muschamp is a retread. He's already failed at Florida.
That has nothing to do with his job.
Yes, it does. Oh my God.
Okay. So here's your theory.
All right.
So here's your theory now. My theory is that I should have been more patient. So here, bring my theory. So since you had a job somewhere else, you're thinking with 3-9 program, we're only going to give you 3 years to turn this around because you already had a job. And so, you know, we're going to hire you. But I still don't think it's a good hire. It's only give you 3. The logic of that is brilliant.
That's not what I'm saying. No, okay, you're not understanding. You have less patience with him.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that when you bring in a coach that has experience, they should have a shorter leash than a coach that hasn't had experience. That's what I'm saying.
What do you want him to do after 3 years of a 3-9 program?
After taking over a 3-9 program,
What was the bar for you? Where should they be?
Well, where should they be? They should show up to the bowl game last year.
You're not letting me finish,
you jackass.
The one bowl game they didn't show up for, and you didn't let me finish. Okay.
You didn't let me finish. Okay, I want them to show up and be focused for the bowl game. That's thing number one. I want, if he is the defensive coach that I think he is and what we were sold upon, I want the defense to be better from year to year to year, and they haven't been. You can look at the numbers and show that.
Okay.
I also want to see the recruiting levels go up higher than what they were when Spurrier was here.
And if I were you,
I would also want to have a win over Kentucky.
I'm just saying it should be different.
I think it should be different. I think that he should be on the leash this year, where if they come out this year and they go 6-6 and go to another bowl game and they piss themselves again, do you think the Gamecock fan base is going to put up with that? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, they put up at Spurrier, didn't they?
Holy shit.
I don't know. Like, here's what I think. I really think that Gamecock fans have this vision that Spurrier was in the top 10 every goddamn year he coached here. I think they look at 11, 12, and 13 and think that was the norm for Spurrier. Why can't we just do that every damn year with Muschamp? I don't understand why. And then you go, you forget 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do you forget those years? I mean, it takes time. And recruiting levels have gone up. As I said before, this is the highest rating recruiting class in school history based on a composite number, and it's averaged by 4-star. So if you go by that, it does. In terms of talent-wise bringing in here, it's the most talented recruiting class by the numbers. And, of course, those don't mean shit at the end of the day. But if you're going to go by the rankings and go by the numbers and all these things, but if you can go by that, then it's the best recruiting class in Gamecock football history since they've kept track of it. So, I mean, you can spin it both ways.
Okay? I'm not spinning it. I'm just giving you the total rankings.
I gave you the total rankings. But actually, talent-wise, it's the most talented group he's brought in school history. I mean,
okay.
They average a 4-star across the board in this class.
That's fine, but you know what, though? I would much rather have a – you can talk about that, but the reality is that when the raw numbers come out, we don't know how good this class is going to be, so we can
– We don't know. But you're trying to compare to the Spurrier.
I am saying, as
we found out on the Spurrier, those classes at the end didn't pan out, did they, Rob? Those classes play like that?
Slow down, sir. slow down. You had some good players in those classes, so stop it.
Did those classes pan out?
I guess Debo Samuel's a bum, right? Debo
okay, Samuel's that's a one. Bum. Okay. How about the rest okay. of the guys?
Do you want to look at the rest of
how
the class?
How about Connor Mitch?
Do you want to feel stupid?
How did Connor Mitch turn out?
I don't know how Connor Mitch turned out. I'm not getting
how did Blackshear turn out?
He left. He didn't want to play for a suck-ass Muschamp.
Don't blame him for that. He left because he wasn't playing anymore.
He'd rather go play for a real coach over at TCU, yeah. Coach Patterson.
Yeah.
Whatever that guy's name is.
So, I mean, so, you know, once again, as it turns out, those classes, whatever they're ranked, did not turn out to be what they were ranked. Okay? So that gets back to how they suited up. And you can talk about, well, either they were not evaluated correctly or they weren't developed correctly, whatever you want to call it. Okay, I think it's a little bit of both. I think Spurrier lost a lot of coaches and coaching staff, good coaches that left, and you saw a decline quickly. So, but if you go by recruiting rankings and composite scores, it's the most talented recruiting class that the Gamecocks have ever had in terms of across the board. So to sit there and say he's not recruiting at a good level, I mean, if you're going by the numbers right now, we'll find out.
I'm not saying we'll he's not recruiting at a good level. I'm saying he's just recruiting at what Spurrier was at. That's all I'm saying. He's recruiting really. At what Spurrier was at.
In ranking-wise, but not in talent-wise. Talent-wise, it's more talented according to the rankings. So we'll see what their ratings. We'll see what happens.
The 2014 class, because I've got it in front of me here. I just wanted to bring some of these players up. Yeah. Bryson Allen Williams, was he a bum?
Real quick, Sam just said about all the NFL players in Spurrier. Okay, we're not talking about the years we went to the top 10. Obviously, that's a different time, Sam. We're talking about these last few recruiting classes, not the recruiting classes from 07, 08, 09 that led to all the guys in the NFL. So let's kind of talk about what's focusing on the topic.
Well, and that's what I'm looking at right now because you're
– I'm talking about Sam on Facebook right now. Going, okay, but – look at the guys in NFL. Look Bryson at Elton Jeffries.
Bryson
look at
Allen Williams.
Look at Clowney. Okay.
Did Bryson Allen Williams suck? Just asking.
He was good.
Casey Crosby was a good player. Let's see here. Taylor Stallworth, he was a good player. Let's see here. Skarnecchia ended up winning some games for you. Dante Sawyer. Let's see here. There were some good players in each class. That class finished 19th in the country.
Was that the 19th ranked class, though, do you think, of looking at that?
I don't know about the other players that were there. I mean, teams, you know. I'm looking at 2015 now. Let's see. This class finished 21st. Shamik Blackshear. Zach Bailey, who's going to be drafted in the first day of the NFL draft.
Hopefully, the injuries and hurting.
Well, but he's rated as one of the top offensive.
I'm saying, hopefully, he heals up quickly.
So, I mean, he doesn't suck, right? Or am I just out of my mind?
Okay.
Dante Sawyer, he played pretty well for the Gamecocks. Let's see. There were some hit and misses here. AJ Turner, I thought he was going to be better. Mon Denson's a starter right now. Blake Camper, he's playing on the offensive line right now. Rashad Fenton, he kind of fizzled out. I mean, you had some players that were really good.
But it wasn't the 19th class. Looking back on it, or the 20th class, it didn't pan out to be the 20th best class in the country based on what they produced. So that's the whole point. Okay, so
you're on the Muschamp gets a 9-year plan. I'm with you
I didn't say that. You're on the train of Dabble gets fired in 2010. So
you're on the train let's give Muschamp 8 years. You said that. On the show, you said 8 years. Yeah, let's get his players in.
Well, it took Spurrier 7 years to get to the top 10. So, I mean, it takes time.
Sam says, Mike, I feel you. I'm not trying to disrespect you, just a different opinion. Sam's a hell of a sports fan. He just wants his team to go out and look good. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Well, so I'm collecting all the predictions from Clemson fans. You know, 4-8 predictions.
No, I don't look, I don't think you're going 5-7. I think you're winning.
I got them.
I'll put mine out on the show here. I got you winning six games.
What's going to happen is, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. Not so much you now. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You'll do a little bit of it, though. We go 8-4, and you'll go, oh, well, 8-4 sucks. I mean, I kind of figured you'd do that. I mean, I figured you would. And that's not you, but this is what the Clemson fans online will say. And I go, wait, you said 4-8 and 5-7, and you're not going to win six. And, well, I didn't realize that you were going to – you know, the one game there, you know, when you won, I mean, you kind of got lucky. I mean, you know, I mean, I wasn't counting on that. That was kind of a fluke, you know. Another game you won was a fluke, too. So you had three flukes. So I didn't realize that. So, you know, I think Muschamp sucks still. I mean, 8-4 sucks. So that's what's going to happen. So I'm collecting all of them. And the comments, I got a bunch of them about no way. So we'll see what happens. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to football. I'm looking forward to all the big games. I mean, we had a big game, it seems like, every damn week this year. So I'm looking forward to all the big games this year. Georgia, A&M, Clemson, Florida. I mean, you know, line them up, Bama. I mean, so it's going to be a great football season. Watch TV. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, there you go. The final thing we'll get into this evening before we wrap the show tonight, we are days away from the college baseball season getting underway. I interviewed Joe Healy from Baseball America this afternoon. He will be on my – I'll have him on my show tomorrow. But we talked a little bit about Chris wants my prediction. I've got him at 6-6. That's what I think the Gamecocks are going to be at. But we talked a little bit about the SEC and the ACC, and I had a question for him that I thought I would sling your way. You know, college baseball is a regional sport. They don't really play as much in the Midwest. And, you know, once you go south of the Mason-Dixon line, north of the Mason-Dixon line, the talent levels kind of drop a little bit. You do have, of course, the Pac-12 and the Big 12. They put some teams together that are pretty good. But I think that for college baseball to have more of a national presence where everyone cares about it, I think that teams in the Big 10 have to come and win some games against teams from the South. I just think that stuff like that would make baseball take off a little bit more. And I also think that if we back some games up where, like, the preseason would start maybe a week or two earlier and then have those teams from the Big Ten schedule games in the South where they can play, like, tomorrow it's going to be 82 degrees here in Columbia. Perfect for baseball, okay? But if we can set the schedule up where it comes like that, where the front end of their schedule is loaded with some road games with Southern teams, and then the back end, they play their conference schedule, I think that's best right now for college baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, and some teams do it already. I mean, like, I'm trying to think, you know, the Gamecocks have played a couple of Big Ten teams, I think, down here in the past years, or teams from up north, not like that come down here. And so that's what they do a lot of times, they can't play up north, but I mean, I'm not sure if college baseball ever get beyond regional. I mean, college football in a way is very regional too. I mean, college football is not talked about much up north in the New York area. Like, I'm not in New York, and it's funny listening to New York. Ever listen to a New York podcast? I listen to the Mike Leckay show sometimes, who's a Yankee guy, Yankee announcer. And when they talk college football, it's kind of just funny. Like they're kind of like, you know, they're talking about, but you can tell they're talking about things they just happen to see on Twitter, and like, oh, I think, you know, they haven't seen these guys even play half the time. So, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, if you look at the tournament at the end of the year, it is loaded with Southern teams. And what I hate is the fact that they kind of bunch up all the teams from the South together in the tournament, because it gets real in the tournament, regional-wise, and so they kind of kill each other off. I really wish they would kind of make it more like the basketball tournament, where you actually seed them and they play according to their seeding. So instead of having these regions, you have these two or three regions in the tournament that are loaded, and then you go out west and the regions are horrible because they keep all the west teams out there. I wish it would be more like, you know, how college basketball does in that sense. But, I mean, I enjoy it. Everyone likes college baseball and everyone watches it. I mean, I love it because I'm a baseball fan, and it helps my withdrawal because it gets here quicker. You know, instead of having to wait to April for Major League Baseball, you got February of baseball games that matter, that count. And so it's good to watch it. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see the newcomers. I mean, that's always my big thing with the Gamecocks, is who the new guys are and how they play, how they look, you know, and reading stuff, you know, from D1 Baseball and Baseball America, reading all that stuff to see how they play. So,
here's what he said about the Gamecocks. He said that in the SEC that the reason that they're not high on the Gamecocks is because he's concerned about their lack of pitching, and he thinks that they will, if they can fix their pitching, then he thinks the Gamecocks can be a strong team. As far as Clemson goes, he thinks that Clemson has all the tools right now to he's got Clemson in a regional and advancing to a super regional. So that's what he said. I'm just saying.
You do realize if you guys host a regional this year and lose, you will break the record. You have the record by yourself for most consecutive times hosting a regional and not winning it. So you could be in the record. But right now you're tied with like 5 or 6 teams, I believe. But you can have the record all by yourself. So I'm actually pulling for you guys to do well in the regular season. So I want you to get that record. I think it's good Clemson's in the record books. You're in the record books. You're in the record books for third worst winning percentage in Omaha of any college baseball program. And so I'd like to see you in those record books up there. So,
well, I will have that interview and up, and I'll put it in our podcast feed as well. But it's going to be I'll get that set up for us and put that out there. But Joe Healy, a great interview I did with the guy from Baseball America. So.
And about the rankings, real quick too. Like, I'm kind of excited because, you know, college sports, okay, the preseason rankings are kind of hit and miss. And, you know, college football, I think they probably did the best job of it just because of – I think it's easier to evaluate college football. College basketball is actually probably the easiest because you only got 5 guys in the 4 at a time. But college baseball is kind of the hardest to predict in the preseason just because you don't know what these teams have. And the Gamecocks don't have a lot of returning pitchers, okay? They lost a lot of guys. But they do have some young arms, and if those guys come up and pitch well, then all of a sudden it changes the whole perspective on the team. So I like the idea that we're kind of in the weeds a little bit in the shadows, as opposed to a few years ago, ranked number 4 in the country in preseason. We come out and play like the 50th best team in the country. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do and see who their new pitchers are and see. I like their lineup. The Gamecock lineup's going to be good. I think we're going to score some runs. We got some really good athletes. And so a lot of athletic kids on the baseball field. And the main thing is, can you pitch? About our bullpen, do you have a closer? Do you have someone to come on and get the big out? So that's going to be the big thing. And, of course, the idea of attrition, too, during the college baseball season, you lose pitchers to injuries and arm fatigue and all that stuff, too. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to see what they put out there and see what Kingston can do with them. But I wouldn't count the Gamecocks out. I'm looking forward to seeing the ballpark, too. The ballpark has changed a little bit. They've got the new video board out there. The video board's so big that there's no room to put the College World Series championship stuff up there anymore. So they put it out on the fences now. So they got all the years listed of tournament teams and College World Series teams and SEC championship teams up there. And I've seen a picture of it. It looks really, really nice. So I like the fact that they're kind of doing a little more to celebrate the history of the Gamecocks on the actual field. I know they have the big thing behind center field that you see when you walk in. It would be cool to see an actual playing field to see more of that. I think we need to retire more numbers, too. That's my big thing to Tanner. We got Ray Tanner's number retired. I think JBJ's number should be retired, number 19. I think we should put maybe Michael Ross' number out to retired, maybe Christian Walker. Get some retired numbers out there, too, and put them in left field somewhere next to Ray's number.
For Clemson, we talked about them a little bit and how they're going to be a completely different team they were last year with Seth Beer gone. He expects the Tigers to steal more bases this year and be more aggressive on the base paths instead of trying to three-run homer people to death. So that was, an interesting observation there from Joe Healy. I think that Clemson will have – I'm worried about Clemson's bullpen, but you never know until those guys get out there and actually do something. You really don't.
Yeah.
So, but we'll find out. I mean, he's high on Clemson. Baseball America is high on Clemson. It's just an issue of, I think with both teams, it's going to be pitching. I think Clemson's lineup will be solid. And I think the Gamecocks lineup will be solid as well. But it's just going to depend on pitching and who shows up on that front.
It's all about getting those 27 outs. You know, who can.
27 outs. You're right about that.
So we'll see.
Well, Mike, do you have anything else to add for this week's show? Oh, well, we forgot to mention the Clemson basketball team. I forgot. They won over Georgia Tech tonight. They were expected to win over Georgia Tech tonight. Big game with Virginia Tech.
Killed them.
On Saturday. If they win that game, they go to 500 in ACC play after 10 games. I don't think a lot of people were thinking they would be 500, but if they can pull that win off, and Virginia Tech is their best player is hurt. So it may end up being a layup on Saturday just because of the fact that this young man's out. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see how the Tigers do and they wrap up their season. All right, there you go. We'll have more basketball on Sunday when we do our show. Mike, with that, this show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at RobSoundsGood and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.